This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Within hours of bombs exploding in Belgium, grainy, closed-circuit images surfaced of the three suspects pushing luggage carts in the airport. Anti-terrorism and security officials across the globe are hoping to prevent similar attacks using a technology that could recognize and flag a suspected terrorist before they reach a crowded airport or subway station. Facial recognition technology is already being used by some law enforcement on social media platforms and in consumer gadgets like digital cameras. Increasingly, facial recognition and other biometrics are also being considered to replace passwords for identification. But there is a disconcerting flaw in this increasingly ubiquitous software. Not everybody's face is recognized equally. Rose Eveleth is host of the podcast Flash Forward and a contributor to Vice, where she wrote about the inherent bias of facial recognition software. She's joining us now on Skype. And Rose, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
So you talk about some very clear cases where facial recognition has failed pretty spectacularly. Can you share some of those cases with us?
Yeah, so there are a couple that have come up recently. Google's image tagging algorithm actually labeled a pair of friends who are African-American as gorillas. Flickr's system actually made the same mistake and tagged a black man with the tag animal and ape. Nikon's cameras, and this is a little bit older example, but Nikon's cameras were designed for a while to detect when someone blinked, and they often told Asian people that they were blinking, even when they were not. And sort of the classic first example that I think a lot of people maybe saw a couple of years ago was HP had some webcams, and they were supposed to track a face, and when a white person moved in front of the camera, it immediately picked up the face and tracked them, and when a black face moved in front of the camera, it didn't see it at all. Mm. So there's a lot of examples of this. It sort of seems like there's all kinds of ways that this comes up over and over, but those are some of the probably the most famous ones.
So what does that reveal to us about how the technology is created and who it's designed to serve?
So algorithms, you know, people think like, oh, algorithms are just computers and they can't have bias because they're computers. And in some ways that is true because it is a computer and it does not yet think on its own. However, it is designed by people. And we know very well that people have a lot of inherent biases that they aren't aware of and some of them that they are aware of. And so very rarely is it the case that some engineer, you know, is sitting at Google and saying like, aha, I'm going to make this algorithm, you know, be racist. But what they do is they train these algorithms on sets of images and sets of faces and sets of things that they're going to show them to say, hey, when you see this, this is what you're looking for. This is what an eye looks like. This is what a nose looks like. This is what you're looking for when you see an eye is open. And often those sets of data that they're training the algorithm on are made up of faces that look very similar. So mostly European, mostly white people. And so when the computer sees a face that looks different, that is not a white face, it doesn't really know what to do because it hasn't seen enough of them to know how to respond. So it makes these mistakes. Now, in some cases with like Google and Flickr, when we talked about the people being labeled as gorillas or animals, that's an even more complicated problem because they're trying to solve something that's more complex than facial recognition. They're trying to teach their computer to recognize any object. So they want to know this is an apple and this is an orange and this is a tree and this is a person. And that's even harder. And that means that they're showing it fewer of the same kind of thing, so fewer people, which means that it sort of amplifies this question of the computer not really knowing what it's looking at.
But still, the idea that a white face is a normal face, I guess, is what we're coming away with. Have you spoken to anybody in the technology business who designs this to see how they responded to questions about bias?
Yeah, so I've talked to a couple of people who work on facial recognition, and all of them say the same thing. They say, you know, we're not going in trying to make a bias system. But what I think a lot of them don't quite realize is that many people who go into technology aren't trained in sort of what bias looks like and how to detect it and how to sort of make sure that it doesn't get coded into their system. And it can seem like a system is really, really accurate. Like it can, you know, work 97% of the time, and that might seem really great. if the 3% of people that it's failing on are all Asian or all African American, that's a problem. And it might not be detected by them because they don't necessarily see it. So one of the people I spoke with said, I don't think it's a problem because those are minor issues. You know, when I asked about, you know, does your system, some of them try to detect gender, and I asked about trans people, and they sort of say, oh, that's a little issue. There's so few of them, it doesn't matter, because they're really looking at a percent accuracy and not necessarily at sort of the human cost maybe that some of this might entail.
So do you think that's a legitimate argument? You know, it's never going to be 100% accurate. So if a few slip through the system, it's okay.
I don't think so. I think in general, technology companies need to be aware of the real world impacts of some of this. And particularly when you're talking about groups that are more vulnerable, that are sort of already facing a lot of discrimination, there are little things that add up to just a reminder constantly that, you know, we don't think about you when we design. And also, you know, as you mentioned, facial recognition software is going to be used more and more, maybe as a password, maybe as a way to get in and out of a building. And if the system doesn't recognize you because it's not trained to, that starts to become more and more problematic in your actual life. And there are clear examples of biometrics sort of failing people in pretty catastrophic ways, you know, when trans people travel through an airport. So I think that engineers need to really be aware of the fact that, yes, you're designing a system, and yes, accuracy is important, but it's not just about a percentage. It's also about the people that are impacted by your system.
Well, what can be done to combat this?
So there are some things that are really simple. You know, hire a more diverse team that maybe would see this before it goes out. But also, you know, if you're feeding your system data, make sure that that data is diverse. And that's not necessarily a trivial thing to do. It can be difficult to find big sets of face data. And, you know, some places will trawl Facebook and some places will look for public images. But just making sure that you're aware of the data that you're feeding your algorithm, because it really can only learn from something that you teach it. You know, it's like a kid. If you never teach it something, it doesn't know that thing, and you can't really be mad at it for not knowing because you never taught it. And so if you're only teaching it on white faces, then, you know, that's on you to sort of find other sets of data to show your algorithm. And I think also there are a couple of people who work on algorithmic fairness and are trying to kind of see what they can do to, you know, detect and prevent bias in some of these algorithms. And so companies could work with them as well to help sort of try to nip some of this in the bud before it gets blown out and gets shipped out and into a product.
Rose, we're talking largely about non-white populations not being recognized or being left out because of this technology. But is there a flip side? I mean, if facial recognition software is being used by law enforcement or airport security struggles with non-white faces, couldn't that also lead to some very specific gaps in security, you know, almost like reverse racial profiling?
It's possible. I mean, I think that there's an interesting flip there that you mentioned, which is that, you know, we know that racial profiling is not technically allowed, but it's definitely something that people think about when they design these things. And so I think it's also, you know, it could be a problem. If you are only training your security database using black and brown faces, that's also a problem, because then you're saying, oh, we've decided that we think a terrorist looks like this and not like that. And that's a whole other sort of flipped problem, which is like what you said. And so I think in general that, you know, if you're making a decision and saying that a person that does X looks like Y, that's a bias. That's a thing that you've decided. And I think it's worth stepping back on companies, whether you're making a security application or whether you're making a consumer application, to say, okay, I'm making a lot of assumptions about what the person that I am looking at is going to look like. Hmm. And maybe I need to back up a little bit and see why I'm deciding that and what that means and whether that's accurate and whether that's fair.
Rose Evela, thank you for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Rose Evela, she's a contributor to Vice, where she wrote about bias and facial recognition software. She's also host of a podcast, Flash Forward. There's more on both at wordofmouthradio.org.